is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Happy Monday for some of you. Not for me, but it is a new week. We are looking up, we're looking forward, and there's still five games to go. Yes, this is a football show, but it's not like a normal football show. So there'll be things that we'll talk football, of course, but things that also, it's just day-to-day life, because sometimes you have to forget about football, because sometimes it can be dark, like this weekend. And today I'm joined by someone who could make it potentially a lot darker. He goes by the name of King Kim Kafari. He is our producer.
It was a Freudian slip there. You just said King Qatari, didn't you?
I know. It was.
After this weekend, I feel that way.
It feels like a Qatari. I'm not surprised after City winning the biggest game of the weekend, the biggest game probably of the season, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Of course, Kim is a producer, but also very much a great co-host as well on the show as well. So you'll hear a lot from him throughout this season of VAR. Are You Serious here on FUBAR Radio. We'll do rants of the week as always, because I mean, I'm frustrated a lot of the time. I think you all have frustrations. As much as people say, Cecil, you're always so happy. Why are you always so happy? How can you always be this happy? There's some things that, you know, you want to get off your chest, as much as everyone else does as well. And we'll go through that in today's show. We have a new feature as well in today's show, which I'm sure you guys will be excited for. But I won't give too much away just now. And a few tinfoil hat conspiracies. Like maybe the ref, Anthony Taylor, throwing yesterday's game and being a bit... I'm not going to blame the ref. I'm joking. Don't bite. I'm not doing that. It's not the ref.
Can we just very quickly, Gabriel...
Okay.
...should never be staying on the pitch. And if Haaland goes down there, Gabriel's out for three games and we definitely win the league. That's poor from Haaland, I think.
Yes, poor from Haaland. It's bad from Gabriel. He lost his head. Listen, I can be a fair football critic and analyst. It should have been a red card. But... You know, there was some other instances where we saw Havertz running through, gets taken out last man, didn't get checked. There was another one as well where Incapié's running down the wing, pushes it past the player. They collide just outside the box and he just is like, get up. And I'm like...
Do you know what though? I do think...
There were some mad decisions, but...
It made for a better game though because it meant that like people could actually be physical. It made for a more enjoyable game.
Yeah. Well, let's we will get to the football. Let's just talk about your weekend before the football, and it was Sunday afternoon. So we'll go from before the football. Anything that you saw, you done,
I had a great weekend. To be fair,
I'm sure you did.
I mean, we know you know the Match Fit guys, don't you as well?
Yes. What? So, did you work with them?
Yeah. So they invited me down to an event with Asahi. Obviously,
I saw that. I saw the... Oh my God, you're... No. Vieira is a red. Stop doing this.
Let me tell my story and then you can rebuttal it, okay?
Don't know why we have Kim on.
So I go to this Asahi event. Obviously, they sponsor both Arsenal and Man City.
Correct.
The whole event was sick, to be fair. It was in a place I've never been to before in the Northern Quarter in Manchester called the Plus Keys.
Oh, I was going to say, why did I not get an invite? But it's in Manchester.
It was absolutely unreal. Like, obviously, it was like free Asahi. They were giving out tops. You could personalise them. The whole thing, free food. The event was sick. They had Steph Houghton, who's obviously a massive City legend, and Patrick Vieira there for like a Q&A bit.
Great player.
And it was just sick. Like, it was a great like 30-minute chat. And then
did you ask a question? Because I always at these events, I never do. But like,
the thing is, I never really like asking questions in front of everyone, because it's like, you're just going to ask the populist question.
Yeah.
Because the guys at Matchroom are looking after us so well, it was basically just like me, my best mate from home, and Patrick Vieira just in the smoking area. And I feel like at these events, I feel like you'll get this as well. Like, if you're just like quite normal person... Like, they just want to chat to you.
Yeah.
Because obviously everyone else is like, can I have a photo? Can I do this? Like, oh, you're my hero. Can you sign this? Whatever. Yeah. Whereas like, me and my mate were just speaking to Vieira just about like, just life. Yeah, I was like, didn't work out that well. Like, you're thinking about going back into it. He was talking about like his family.
Yep.
I was talking about City, because Vieira was supposed to be the man who took over after Guardiola. Mm-hmm. That was always supposed to be the plan, which is why he went to New York City. And I said to him, I was like, obviously, it hasn't worked out that way. Like, do you regret it? And he said, I massively regret leaving the City group.
What?
He was like, the one year that I was there, I absolutely loved it. Obviously, City really look after their players, big time. Look after the family. He was like, that year I was there, I was obviously past it. I was there to sit on the bench, but I was there to teach players who'd never won anything how to win things, which he did. Obviously, we went on to win the FA Cup that season. He said it was an unbelievable time. He said, going to New York, they looked after him incredibly well. And then he wanted to just make his own way. and he took that job at Nice. Yeah, then obviously worked Palace, at Strasbourg, Palace, then Strasbourg, now Genoa. And he says, I massively, massively regret leaving the City Group. He should have never done that. And I think if he hadn't, he probably would have been in the conversations anyway for being City manager. So yeah, my Instagram story where I said he's definitely a Blue. Obviously has more loyalty towards Arsenal. He played there
that
for
burnt
years.
Me still.
But he absolutely, he loves City. And it was honestly like just such a privilege, like for me to take like my best mate to go and speak to a Premier League Hall of Famer.
Sick.
And genuinely just have like a 15, 20 minute, no agenda chat. And I said to my mate afterwards, I was like, bro, if I was recording that as an interview, that would have done such good numbers. But I think that's why it worked so well, because it wasn't, it was just a chat.
Listen, like you said, we've been in this game for a while, and I have a lot of those conversations as well where they just want to just chat and just say things away from a camera or microphone, mm-hmm. and you get the best out of them. Obviously, never really sees the light of day, but it's those stories you hold on to, or you just say, oh, well, actually, I know something more than what is being put out in the media and stuff, because you have the fireside chats, or what they call it, water cooler chats, I suppose, when you're in the office and whatnot. But one thing, just quickly on that, you spoke about management, City. If Pep leaves, would you be happy with Mikel Arteta?
No, God, no. No, absolutely not.
Really?
Absolutely not.
I'm hearing that if Pep leaves and we push him out of the club, that City would, they're kind of, that's their first sort of choice.
I think...
Or you're looking at company. You're probably looking at company.
No, I think I know. I think I sort of know what's going to happen. And I think...
Come on, we're on a show. Talk to us.
I think if we win the league, Pep will leave, definitely, at the end of the season. So well. Enzo Maresca, it will take over. He's the next one.
Okay.
But it won't be for long. It's just waiting until when company's ready to leave. He's just going to wait. Company won't want to leave after winning probably the treble, which I think he probably will do at Bayern. Yeah. He'll win everything there. I don't think he wants to leave yet. I also think anyone who takes over from Pep Guardiola is never going to succeed.
No,
you don't want to be that guy. You've seen what's happened with Arne Slot after Klopp.
So happened for Alex Ferguson, David after Moyes. Wenger as well. Yeah,
guys will never succeed. Never. And I think company probably knows that. I think obviously it helps that Maresca was there under Pep. So I don't think that the style of football will change that much.
But
Maresca's
Mikel,
not as
though.
Magnetic.
Not Mikel like that.
Nah, I don't like the football you play. And also, he can't get you over the line. He can't get you over the line.
I don't even know why I endorse this conversation. So, yeah, it's going to burn me even more.
So no, I honestly, like, I know this sounds mental. Like, part of me kind of thinks, like, I wouldn't be that bothered if we didn't win the league, if it meant that Pep stayed. Like, I know it's just delaying the inevitable, but I'm just not ready.
That's
for
a mad statement.
I'm not ready
Kim.
For that moment.
That's a mad statement.
I know it's gonna happen, but I'm so not ready for him to leave.
That's so sad.
I will
that
cry.
That came from your heart. As
yeah,
well,
I will cry when he leaves.
I'm not surprised. Pep is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's the best manager we'll ever have.
Listen to him.
No, I love him so much.
I hear it. I hear it. Listen, when Wenger, in the end, it was time for him to go, but it still hurts. It still hurts. Even when I see him now doing when he's working FIFA and stuff and he talks, I'm just like, oh, that was
I miss you.
That was Papa.
That was daddy.
It hurts, but I hear that. And Pep, listen what he's done for you guys. Honestly, he is an unbelievable manager. Unbelievable. Yeah. Every time I think about it, I just think, wow. Saturday, I played football as well. We won 6-1.
I actually saw you scored, to be
scored,
fair.
Got two assists. So I was playing at Burgess Hill on the 3G. That pitch is unbelievable. And I was on fire, cutting, wrapped in top bins. No, I just, do you know what? Just I've got to make it known on camera that I do still play football, people. And I'm actually not a bad player anyway. But all that. And then lastly, Sidemen Charity Match obviously was on. I normally host it. And present it this year. I didn't get a host. A sad story. But I didn't actually go. I could have went, but no. I heard it wasn't as good as it has been before. Which
I heard the presenting wasn't great either. That's what I heard.
I heard
the level of presenting this year.
It was supposed to dip a little bit.
Previous years.
Do you know what is? I'm not even going to be bitter. Big up Munya. Big up Elsa Witch. They were the main. They always have been the host. But what? For in my instance, just for context, people, I had a role that was the pitch side presenter, so I did interviews as people come off. We interviewed the goalie mid game and stuff. That was JJ at the time, or KSI. This was the first year, so they tried new things, and I also do like the opening VT, so like I open the whole Simon Charity Match stream. Amazing, do some live stuff to like 2.2 million, but they didn't replace me, so there was none of that. So this year it was just like there was no VT, there was no fun engaging piece, there was no interviews as they come off. It was just Munir and Els, and then obviously they had the pundits, which is fine, but like it's a shame that they just didn't replace me. I know that sounds really, it's certainly coming from a bit of place, it's just like that added to the stream, but they didn't do it. But anyway, in the end, listen, they raised a lot of money, over nearly £7 million.
It's unbelievable, by the way, that these lads can sell out
it's
Wembley.
Crazy,
it's absolutely
back
insane.
To back. Exactly. So that was That was my
What about
weekend?
Sunday? Did you have a good Sunday? Sunday between the sort of hours of half four, maybe half six, quarter to seven. Did you have, what were you doing that period?
I don't know. What, normally I am...
You were somewhere, weren't you?
No, normally
I saw you in the flesh somewhere, but I can't remember.
Oh, did you see me?
Yeah, I can't remember for the life.
Maybe you saw my Instagram story of me at home, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I was at home.
Saw some tears coming out of your eyes at circa 6:30 p.m. actually.
Circa 6:30 p.m.
When the City fans were doing our Cherokee song as you were walking out of the Etihad.
All right.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it. Let's get into this. Why did we have a football show? Like, I used to like this show, and now I'm like, nah. It was so good a couple...
That's what it was.
It just popped up on
the... Manchester City 2, Arsenal 1.
Oh, did that happen?
Hold on, and then if we beat Burnley, we now go... Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, Sunday,
confusing about that is because every show I've produced this year, you've said, Arsenal definitely going to be Arsenal. This seems to contradict that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it doesn't contradict it because we're still top of the league. But but I will say there was a big game this weekend, the Premier League showdown. As I'm sure they dubbed it. I don't know. Maybe I saw something like that. But Arsenal, yes, went to Etihad and they played Man City. Let's get into it. I mean, we went up there. We drove up there. The vibes were good. Energy was good. I think, I actually know. People will know this. I said in the preview, I said I think we'd lose 2-0. My head says that. I said my heart is saying 1-0 Arsenal. So in the predictions, you'll see that I predicted 1-0 to Arsenal now. But I didn't really believe Arsenal had it over City. They've beaten us. We haven't beaten them all season. So I don't know what changes. Yes, we might show a little bit more fight because of the, I don't know, the Carabao Cup final, the Cherokee doing kick-ups, all these little things, that the bottle from the guy in the crowd, and maybe that might have riled us up a little bit. And it probably did. We saw a better performance, but I didn't really believe Arsenal had it over City in that game. In my head was saying that. If I was being logical, I don't think it would beat them. But went in there and I felt better going into the stadium. I felt like, oh, saw the 11. We went for something different. Eze on the left. I said, okay, Havertz is up front. No Jokeres. Strange, confusing, different. Maybe Pep was preparing for something like that. And he thought that might have been a bit of a twist. Thought it would work. It proved it did when he nicked the goal from Donnarumma, but he then had big chances, which he missed. So let's get into it. 2-1, let's talk. Kim, you are a City fan. I did see you. Well, you saw me.
I saw you.
In the crowd. And then I saw you, but...
I've just sent the video to Hugh, the producer.
Oh, great.
Just so he can also see.
Great. So we saw each other. I could see him in the City end. He said... Kim said, come down. I said, there's no way I'm coming down. One, because I just can't be, I don't want to be taunted by your fans. This is before the game as well. I just couldn't live with it. I was also by Mars Lewis Skelly's family. We saw Martinelli's management and team there. There was a lot of family around us. Not that tells you anything, but the game starts and I'll leave you to we can go through. We can talk not minute for minute, but we can go through scenario for through scenario.
First of all.
Go on.
Do you know Nelson from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
What does he do? What's his main catchphrase?
Nelson from The Simpsons. He's a bit of the
He's the bully, isn't he?
No, he's the bully one. The bully.
That's the one, yeah. So hold that. So just hold that. Remember that in your head when we're talking about this.
I even set that up. I set up for myself.
I know, but no. What I will say, firstly, is I thought you're
when Hugh's producing, he actually makes the show so
much
better.
I know, it's class, isn't but, it? Yeah, I need to start doing it. I need to do it.
Yeah, you
job,
do. But
it's
at my expense.
That's class.
But go on. So yeah, so...
What I will say, firstly, and this is genuinely me just talking like a real person, not a character. I'm talking like a real person.
Okay,
not.
Good.
Your fans and players made for a great game yesterday. Like
a great game.
I thought you can hold your head high. Like I thought the Arsenal fans were great. I thought it was an amazing atmosphere. I thought you played really well. Really well. I was surprised at the way you played. I think at 1-1, you hit the post twice. Realistically, the draw was a good result for you. Everyone was thinking...
You're being...
Yeah, I know, I'm being right.
Fair.
Everyone would have thought, oh, Arteta's going to play for the draw. It was a draw, and you still tried to win the game.
Yeah.
I thought we controlled large periods of it. We were always going to. We're better on the ball. We're always going to control games. That's fine. But ultimately, as I've been saying to you, and I've said it all season, if we play well, we will beat anyone. And you were good, and we were just a tiny bit better and a tiny bit more clinical.
Yeah. I would say the same. if we had a fully, it's not about, I'm not blaming the squad because I've said we have the best squad in the world. I've always said that. So it's not about that. But if I say that same sort of memento that if we, everyone's fit and we play our best, we beat any team in the world. But you're right. I'm glad you did the take a step out of it. Let me just be a normal person and not have my blue tinted glasses or my red tinted glasses on, because I was the same. We had a lot of bashing and being berated by Man City fans as we left and after fan cams and all that. Yep. Class. But then as we went back to the car, there was an older Man City fan. He said what you just said there. He goes, it was a top class game. Quality
there
game.
There you are, look.
There I am, clapping with my scarf. Clapping you, next to Rob.
Look how terrifying you both are. No, that was before the game. Right. You were terrified. Look at Rob. Right, look at Rob's face. Fans. Tell me there's not worry in there.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at Robbie.
Yeah, yeah.
Robbie's thinking about everything under the sun apart from the game.
Well,
he's trying to distract himself from the inevitable. There he is.
Well, like I said, we were very proud of the performance. Arsenal fans were coming out.
Look at the fear.
Oh, there
look
I am.
Look at the fear.
I was looking. I'm checking my shoulder always. You know, ex-footballer and that. Arsenal fans came out the ground saying proud of the performance. Also saying, listen, don't go at the players, and we weren't going to. I think everyone kind of came out with a bit of, I don't know, a better energy, even though we lost. Look, like you said, I think a draw is a fair result. I think that was a fair result for both teams. But we lost because, you know, your attack, they put away chances. Havertz had, if Haaland had the chance that Havertz had, we would have drew that game. But it fell to Havertz, and Haaland is difference maker. He got his chance and
took his goal, by the way, as well.
He's
absolutely ludicrous. He's unbelievable.
No, the celebration was not needed.
Wow,
that was just.
I love it.
It builds.
I love how everyone just has beef with Arsenal.
It rattled us.
Why does Cherky?
That's why
Cherky cares.
In the stands, I said, we don't even not like you like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
we actually, bro, all of your fans are very complimentary about him.
He's a good. Even after the Carabao Cup final, obviously he did kick-ups, a bit disrespectful. We all said like, we love to see that sort of footballer back in the Premier League doing what he wants, going against Pep a little bit, because you know Pep doesn't like all the taking and making. So a lot of us are like, we respect the player you are. And then he goes
and then he goes and gives it the Adebayor.
And I'm like, what? Why?
I was thinking that. I was loving it, but I was thinking that.
And then when we scored, I said to Havertz, go in his face and just stand there. But he was like, we didn't do that.
I'll tell you one thing about yesterday, though. Well, I can swear. Oh, yeah. I'm the producer, it's my show.
You can do what you want, yeah.
I fucking hated that game. Really? I did not enjoy that game one bit. Even when Haaland scored, I celebrated for a bit. And then, you know, like we have the standing section, same with you.
Same us, yeah.
I just had to sit in the seat. I couldn't actually watch the game.
Really?
I just didn't enjoy it at all. Because you know, I give it the big and online.
Yeah.
To Arsenal fans, like AFTV. You've got 1.6 million subscribers on YouTube. Who are all Arsenal fans.
Yeah, you're gonna...
And I'm there giving it the big and for the last 4 months, right? So that game, it meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't enjoy it. I literally couldn't enjoy it. Like Chelsea the other day was like a festival party atmosphere.
Yeah, you said that yesterday, was it. You believed. I know. I saw your story.
I was just having, I had my fingers in my mouth. I did not enjoy it at all.
I enjoyed it, but obviously I didn't enjoy the result. But like I was just like, wow, we're actually seeing something from Arsenal. Apart from he brought on Trossard, took off Eze. Eze was our best player at the time. I couldn't believe that.
That was an amazing shot, by the way.
Oh, it was just like, yeah, Eze, and he hit the post, and it hit the inside of the post. I thought that was it, but then, bang, it also comes out. But I'm just like, I enjoyed it. I don't know why. I felt like I said, like I've come out of games, Wolves, Bournemouth, and been absolutely shouted at by lead judges and felt like I want to, even Nottingham Forest actually away, like I'm physically angry, but I have to hold it down and do the presenter stuff, of course, but like there's a lot of emotion in me and I feel what the fans are feeling that game, and it's not like I'm siding with the fans, but I just felt like there was a lot to look at and say, okay, it's gonna go down to the wire. It shouldn't have, which my dream was to have won the league at your place. It's our own fault we couldn't do that. It's our own fault, but like a lot of the things that is coming down to now is, like you said, it's a shootout. That's what everyone keeps saying. It's a shootout game for game. I'm going to ask you if you think City will win every game. I don't think they will win every game to the end of the season. I don't think we will win every game to the end of the season. But I also feel like what it comes down to, it might come down to goal difference. And in that sense, our attack isn't good. Your attack's very good. Mm. So if I'm being logical, it says you score more goals than us, you'll end up winning the league on goal difference probably. Or you might win the league on points, but I think on goal difference because your attack's better than ours. So that is a logical thinking man, in my opinion. However, I'm going to believe, I've said from months ago, from about the same time you said Arsenal are going to bottle it regardless of what you think. You've been banging that drum for a while. You've wavered a little bit, I have to mention that, but then you're back. fine. I've always said Arsenal are going to win the league. I'm still going to back them because I said I'm all in. But logic's saying it's unlikely. They clipped me last week on my own show and put this clip out. Of course, I'm not going to reshare it. Of course, I'm not going to accept it and say.
I was thinking, I know that's not going to do numbers because I know for a fact I'm not going to share it.
Oh, AFTV, no one's doing
that. No way,
yeah. So, but yeah, obviously, my head tells me, I'm very clear on how I think this is going to play out, and I'm not a fool, but I will back the team. Football's a funny game and things can be different. But yeah, good game overall. Mad that you didn't enjoy. I mean, I get it.
I just didn't enjoy it. I get it.
You put your head, neck on the line by saying all these things. And I suppose that it meant extra.
I think the thing is, like, we've had so many amazing moments as City fans, and we've had so many incredibly tense, like, tight games. And for some reason, this one, and maybe it's because I've just started getting more into the content space and more like being like a professional City fan. Maybe that's why it felt a bit different.
But it gets worse, by the way. I'm telling you, the more seasons that go and you're going to... Kim, and the more you talk...
Yeah, and I talk.
Yeah, bro.
I talk.
You're in for a treat in this space.
I also think, like, for me, I've had no expectation of us winning the league this year. Mm. Even though, like, I've been quite brash saying that Arsenal will bottle it. Like, if we hadn't won the league this year and we don't win the league this year, it's fine because I didn't expect it. And now it's like we've got so close, and like I've remembered what it feels like to like have those incredible like nerves. Like Chelsea away, like I'm just like a wreck, and then Mark Gatey scores, and I'm like, and I've kind of forgotten. I kind of forgotten what that was like because we've been chasing for so long.
Yeah.
And you have the nerves of the chase, but it's excitement. It's pure excitement. The chase is exciting. And this is why I think Arsenal fans, and I understand why. I understand why you like this, but I think it's a bit of a detriment. And I think it's probably a large reason of why fans of other teams might not want you to win. In my opinion.
I'm about to go to this after as well about fans.
I can be incredibly cocky
when
we're 10 points behind. And I can say you're going to bottle it. When we get into a position where we are now about to win the league, now is the time for composure. Now we might beat Burnley, we'll go top of the league. Now it's the time to calm down. And I think with Arsenal fans, you go too early where your fans are like, we're going to win the league. And then it starts to slip. And then the nerves are just too strong and it affects the whole stadium, it affects the whole players.
Do you know what? It actually irks me, I'll be honest. The criticisms that the fans get. However, like, there's sometimes I'm like, do you know what? I get why we get this much hate. But then I'm like, days like yesterday and the seasons we've gone through, I just think Arsenal fans get a little bit unfairly treated. And I know there's going to be clips that say, oh, but you think Saka's the best in the world and Max and all that. But then I look at us and think, like you just said there, we were singing, we're going to win the league. I think at Brighton, it was a Brighton away because that was a big game. You guys dropped points as well. Mm. And it felt different. Why did it feel different? We're in four competitions at the time. Like, Arsenal are unbeaten in the Champions League. Like, there's a lot of things that you look at. And granted, I would say you haven't done anything yet. But you're like, okay, well, we've been second 3 years in a row. Like, some people might be arrogant. I don't think I'm massively arrogant. At times I've wore a Christmas t-shirt, but that was like 3 years ago. Fine.
Oh, and
that
was, t-shirts.
Of course, that will haunt me forever.
If we win the league, I'm getting that framed. I'm getting that t-shirt and a picture of you framed. I'm putting it on my wall.
And I hear it. Like, there's times where, and that's not even arrogance. That's just me enjoying. It was a bit cocky because I was just enjoying the time of us being top of the league. But like, now I'm like, we've lived through all of this. The fans are like, we're in a place where no way we're going to be second 4 years in a row. Can't be happening. Four competitions at the time. We're backing our players as you should. Mm. And then like, yeah, like yesterday, like no one's going over the top about us losing. We're not killing our players. Everyone always says that Arsenal fans, one day everything's amazing, the best in the world, and then as soon as you lose, you're not. No, like we clapped our players coming over to us yesterday. Mikel Arteta, I mean, there's a clip going around, there's loads of clips going around on Twitter, like, this is what it should mean, like, fans in the stadium, look at the difference between this and online. And maybe the online portion is very loud, and that's why, you know, there can be hate at times, and yes, I might contribute to that, but also I'm there every week. But like, I don't know, I just feel like we've been a little bit harsh on, because I feel like we're back in a team, yes, things are crumbling a little bit, and we may bottle it, and I think any other fan base would just be heartbroken, but we're staying with our team. And I think we're being. Yeah. I think we're doing the right thing. It does. It irks me. It just irks me. I'm just like, give us a break at times. I guess there might be. I might have missed some things online, and that might wind people up. But I'm just like, in general, Yeah, we spoke about parade and stuff, but it's been so long.
To be fair, you've got to enjoy it.
Of course, that's what I'm saying.
You can't just be nervously quiet forever. That's and then if it doesn't happen, you've had no moments of joy throughout the season. You've got to enjoy it.
Exactly.
I mean, I saw a video actually the other day, which I think is really interesting, which I want to pick your brain over.
Go on.
Was that Johnny Kay? Do you know Johnny Kay? He works for Versus. He's a big West Ham fan. And he did a TikTok yesterday, which is talking about the hierarchy of football fans. And it's so true, right? The match-going fans who go home and away are right at the top.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah.
Season ticket holders, the next rung, the only home fans. Then there's the membership fans who go to the games when they can, but maybe they can't afford it all the time. Then you've got these little rungs, and then you've got the online fans. And they are right at the bottom. And the problem with Arsenal is because those fans are the ones who get heard and seen so much. Everyone thinks, and even I've said it myself.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that the whole Arsenal fan base is that.
Online, yeah.
But yesterday, this is what I'm saying. This was the first thing I said. Yesterday, I'm watching all of your fans and I'm like, you're singing even when you're losing.
Yeah.
You're contributing to the atmosphere. You come out of second half, you properly like G-ing the players up. Yeah. You're clapping Arteta off. Like that's real football.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't get misguided with
your fans also didn't sing second again Ole Ole until after, but they didn't sing that throughout, which I was quite surprised by. Sorry to bring this up. I thought they were singing. You were, obviously they gave us back and forth, but they weren't really, I rated that they weren't really giving it that way. They're obviously celebrating and singing their players on and cheering and whatnot and singing the songs of the players.
There's a lot of nerves.
There was.
You could feel it, couldn't you?
You could feel it.
Like the first half, the first 20 minutes, and obviously the minute after we scored before you scored, City fans were like, unbelievable.
Yeah, the whole stadium was on it.
Then you scored.
And then it was like, whoa.
And it wasn't like, we weren't like quiet, but you could tell that like the chants weren't really getting picked up by everyone because everyone was just like, and like, I was stood in, like just to the side of the away fans, which is usually like South Stand corner is usually like the most vociferous support.
Yeah.
And even I could tell like there was chanting, but there was just so much nerve.
But I think your fans understood that a draw is not a good result for you guys.
Yeah.
And it was very close to being a draw.
Yeah,
like, even when you scored, like I think you were like, oh, and then the 7 minutes at a time, it's like, don't, I could feel that. And for us, I was like, well, if we draw, it's, to me, I still don't think it was a great result, but I would have taken draw before the game.
Yeah,
so like, I could feel that from all fans, that the City fans were like, don't draw this game. But then, like you said, after you could feel as we walked out, we're getting braided. Obviously, we ignore it. We take it very well. We had a Man City fan come on as well and give Robbie some stick. But like, very interesting. I just think, and you just the hierarchy of fans, if my opinion, I don't think there should be. I know there is kind of that, the home match, because at the stage, there was a stage where I just went to games every now and then. I wasn't like every, now obviously I'm privileged to be able to do that, but I think it's a privilege to be able to afford and go and see your team week in, week out. But I think there is differences, and I think the online one is quite loud. But again, I've been to around the world and seen international fans that watch every piece of football and just, they get it. Even though they may not have been to the Emirates before, but yeah, you're right. I think sometimes that online can overshadow, you know, the match goers, which is a bit interesting. I just think it was a tough weekend for me. Probably not a tough weekend for
you. Great weekend for me.
You said that you don't think City will win every game after this going forward. I don't think Arsenal will. But yeah, that is it, man. City 1-2-1. I'm trying to think, is there anything else I saw? No, I liked Haaland did one quick interview, and he just said like he was quite respectful actually about. He was quite respectful. He gave a bit of, I did the banner. I'll laugh at his face a little bit, like, but not. But he was respectful in the sense of, like, it's like old school football. He's trying to build a rivalry. There is a rivalry, it feels like. There is now becoming one. So,
and I would say usually Gabriel gets the better of Haaland.
Yeah.
Yesterday. But not yesterday.
Yeah,
he got bullied.
He lost his head a little bit. All right, well, listen, after the break, we'll talk from the top of the table. We'll go to the bottom of the table. We'll talk Tottenham Hotspur. And are they going to go down?
VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
All right, Tottenham Hotspur, Spurs.
Yeah, smiles return to your face.
It is, but you know what? As well, again, fans. Again, like that's why I credit Arsenal fans. Tottenham are losing and potentially, likely, are going to go down. We're not caring. Like,
do you think they are going to go down?
Yes, a lot of my friends are Man United fans. Like I said, I had them all round on the weekend, and we watched the Spurs game and they drew, I said, I knew they're going down. He goes, do you really think they're going to go down? It's Tottenham Hotspur. There's no way they're going. I said, bro, they're going down. Like, how? I don't know how you don't watch them play. Listen, even under the Zerbi, listen, there was moments where they were okay yesterday. But I'm like, on the weekend. But I'm like, there's no way they're staying up. They haven't got the, I don't think they've got the mental capacity, the fortitude to stay in this league. And the teams they've got coming up as well, they're scrapping. Sorry, not coming up. The games that they're playing against are people scrapping to stay up. So I just think Tottenham just haven't got going to have the mental strength to be able to do it. Even, I don't know, it's just the signs, Xavi Simmons.
95th minute equaliser at home.
It's
crazy. When you think you're going to win the league, when you think you're going to win the game, is just crushing.
Yeah, exactly. And like Wolves away, we went there, tough game, that's their next game. And listen, Wolves are, if they win, I think they're going down regardless, but like.
Leeds at home.
Leeds are good.
Home, Chelsea Aston away, Villa away.
Bro, come on. Like,
I think tonight is massive, by the way. I think if West Ham beat Palace away, which I actually expect that they will do, because obviously Palace were away in Italy on Thursday night. It's huge, because then they're 4 points ahead of Spurs.
Exactly. And everyone would have a more than, I think, 3-point gap away from Spurs if they do win that. So, like, I don't know. I think they're going down. The signs, Xavi Simmons scoring late, he's gone mad. And, like, yes, it was a great goal. I'm not going to take that away from him. But someone in that change room should just be saying, don't take off. If you took your ticket shot off, we've been here so many times with Richarlison. What are you doing? Then he jumps in the crowd. And I'm like, brother, there's still 15 minutes to play. Like, come on, bro. Like, I get it. There's euphoria. You're trying to keep your team up and it's a good goal. But like, celebrate. But taking your top off, you're with that long to go, the Spurs, like, DNA, the history of the Tottenham, like, there's so much in there, bro. I just couldn't believe when he did that. I said, there's no way they win this game. And then, lo and behold, an equaliser comes. So, Spurs, for me, I think they are going down. I think, like I said, my friends didn't believe it. They were like, there's no way. There's no way they're gonna go down. But size of the stadium, players, they got World Cup winners in their team, whatnot. But every time I watch them, it's not often, every time I do, I just think,
they haven't got the dog in them.
They haven't got players, even the managers that understand a relegation battle. And you know what? I'll just quickly touch on this before we move on. Race again, see Danso again, absolutely berated online, getting racial abuse. It's just not acceptable. So for me, take them down. The Wolves still won't mend the fact of racism, but just, I just think they're in a mess. They're in a terrible position, terrible place, terrible mindset, terrible, everything around them is just toxic. Get them gone. I won't miss them. But bring them back at some point. I'll miss the North London derby, but not for a season. Get them back after maybe a couple of seasons, or maybe one season, but let them go experience a championship. Right, because then no Tottenham fan can speak to me for a season. And that might make us not winning the league, if we don't win the league, a tiny bit sweeter. Kim, let's get into this. Ranty of the week. It's rants time. And just before everyone listening, Kim said, let me pick from my long list of things that have annoyed me to pick what, because I haven't even thought about what my rant of the week is. Let me pick from a long list.
Bro, I'm intrigued. I hate so many things.
I don't know if I look at you and think, I don't know, you give aura like, yeah, you might have resting bitch face at times, but I don't think I feel like you're quite a happy, like, see, you got quite a happy
guy. I'm a happy guy.
I don't know. But
I'm a northerner, right?
Okay, yeah.
I'm grumpy and I moan about everything.
And then you're in London, I suppose, when you come to London. And you're in London, so yeah,
if I could rant about London, believe me.
Yeah, bruv. You've done umbrellas.
Every single one of my rants has actually been London related.
You've done people, so you've done everything to do with London.
Just begging my missus to let us move back to Manchester, honestly. This one actually comes from producer Hugh, who reminded me of how much I hate this thing. Right. I understand that vernacular and vocabulary changes. I get it, right? You move with
that
the times.
That was a big word, vernacular vocabulary.
No, but you move with
you
the times.
You studied the media, so I like that. Hey, I'm going to have a little rant. Do you know what? Because we've got good people on our show. I want to let people know vocab and articulation and voice and, you know what I mean?
Educated as all well. All of that, philosophy degree as well as chatting bullshit about Man City.
Colloquialisms. There we go.
Look.
Vernacular, oi!
Listen,
big words on Monday. My mouth needs some water. Wait, let me just do some voice exercise quick. All right, okay. My tongue's a bit. Here we go, ready. Here we go. Sorry, I learned that in drama school.
I'm putting that as a clip.
That is going to sound crazy online.
That's getting clipped.
Please not.
With some Photoshop, some heavy Photoshop.
Anyway.
Right, listen. I appreciate that different people have different ways of speaking.
Yeah.
I appreciate different accents, all of that kind of stuff. this new modern generation of basically AI slop chatter is really doing my fucking nutting. Mm. And I don't mind if it's 10-year-olds doing it, but I'm seeing like big brands like Lego posting like a tweet of like a starship that's been made, and the caption's like, "Bro really cooked with this one." What is going on? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but part of me is thinking, are they just trying to use this to make everyone so thick and turn their brain into mush that they can control them? When did we stop talking?
I don't know.
When did we stop actually communicating?
My nephews talk like that sometimes, and I'm just like, when he say, they say to me, "Bro doesn't even know." They're talking about Invincibles. If you don't know about Invincibles, there's some cartoon Marvel. I just don't know Marvel, it's cartoons, and it's like superheroes. And they're like, "Bro doesn't even know like about Invincibles. Like, has he not seen them and the comics?" And he hasn't. I'm like, I'm here. I'm stood right in front of you. Like, yeah.
Why are we speaking in the third person?
Yeah, like, hello.
Also, when did Bro go from becoming a friendly, shortened version of brother,
yeah,
to be in this third person use for someone who doesn't know things?
Even like when they were like,
doesn't make sense.
And I could talk slang. I sometimes dibble and dabble. Like when they're like, man doesn't even know. Like I can talk. Like we do all that. But like, it's now just going to another. Like you said, brands and stuff are using it, and I don't know.
And the worst thing is, and I don't want to be, I don't want to, you know, go down a techie route here, but there's probably like a 50-year-old white bloke in a boardroom meeting going, "What should our caption be? Yeah. How about bro doesn't even know?"
Yeah.
And all these people around like, what a great caption,
my kid did this, so yes, let's talk like that. Yeah, like,
fucking get it in the bin. Let's me and you make a movement now. Should we just start speaking again?
Yes.
Like people talking.
The Queen's English.
Not even the Queen. If you want to use slang from where you grew up, if I want to use Manx, if I want to say something's mint, I'll say something's mint.
Yeah, fair.
But I'm not having AI slang dictate our life.
Our kid is Manx.
Our kid is Manx.
Yeah. And you know what? I like the...
And everyone's our kid.
Receive pronunciation. I like to talk slang and patois and Jamaican stuff. But I do like receive pronunciation as well. I like vernacular and big words. And I like things like that.
Colloquialism.
Yes, I like all those sort of words. And good actual talking in proper
English.
Let's talk. I like that. My rant now. My rant comes from, I'm quite a happy person. I don't really, not many things annoy me. And if they do, you have to really annoy me, especially to remember it and bring it on the show called VAR, Are You Serious? But today, morning, yes, I had a coffee thrown at my car on the way in.
What?
Yeah.
By who?
So I was driving today. This is crazy. I go to turn a corner. Right. Oh, I've had two bad incidents today. Oh my lord. Sorry.
Can I just very quickly say, and I don't want to throw you under the bus here.
I've been a bad driver.
I've been in a car with Cecil.
I'm a bad driver.
I would genuinely put him up there with the worst driver I've ever been in a car with. So if the coffee was anything related to the way you were driving, fully justified.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's even worse. I admit I'm a bad driver. That's what makes it even worse. I am a bad driver. I really am. I shouldn't be driving the car. I'm a bad driver. Anyway. I didn't even cut someone up, but someone wouldn't let me in. This wasn't the coffee instance. This is also this morning. They wouldn't let me in, and I almost scraped my car, and he was beeping me so loud. But like, I was like, just let me in. Like, I've been indicated for ages. I'm coming in, and because he had a big van, he thought I would basically
give way.
Yeah, and you're speaking to the wrong man. I will crash my nice car and have an argument with you. And if it has to get somewhere, we'll go somewhere. Anyway, but in the end, I got in. That was fine. The coffee incident. So I'm driving through London. Drive through London a lot of the time.
Unenjoyable experience. Just one other thing about London.
Terrible.
Awful to drive.
The worst ever. So I go to indicate to turn down a hipster road. It's like a small road, graffiti and all that. But like, there's a guy trying to cross at the same time.
Producer Hugh frantically googling hipster road.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, it's round the corner from here. It's round the corner. Hipster road. Actually, is. It's like it's just round the corner.
It probably is that Blackstock road.
No, it's actually called hipster road. I'm just saying it's the description of it. It's like a small funnel road, graffiti everywhere.
Right.
He's got his coffee in his hand. He steps out. I'm indicating, by the way, to go down this road. He steps out, then puts his foot back, but the car's still moving. But then he goes to walk in because he basically thinks, "Bro, I'm crossing this road. It's not a zebra crossing, so you don't have..." Let me make that clear. It's not a zebra crossing. So you do not have right of luxury to say, "You're going to stop regardless." That's basically what he did. Because he went, didn't go, because I was slowing down because it's a tight corner. So I have to slow down to go down the corner. But I'm still moving. And then he walks onto the road and I'm like, well, I'm not stopping. So then he quickly pulls back and then he has his whole coffee and just launches it at my window screen. And I'm like, I don't know whether to stop and get angry and get out of the car. But because I'm such a bad driver, I'm like, well, maybe I probably should just let him go. It's going to be nice. He might be having a bad day. I just laugh and drive off. But then I'm just like, window wipers, clear my window. He's like stood in the middle of the road looking at my car and then he just walks off. But yeah, what
fair
was my rant?
To that man.
Yeah,
he probably
did the right thing. But he spent a lot of money on the coffee. Coffee in London's about £6, £6. And that was on my window screen. I'm going to go get my car washed anyway today because it's a bit dirty. So all in all, you know, you probably got some anger out. I had a good laugh. I was probably in the wrong because I probably should be letting people go. But that is my rant of the week. I don't know what the rant was. What was the rant?
I wish I was a better driver.
Yeah. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Right. That's. We're going to move on from rants because that. Bro doesn't even know how to drive.
Bro doesn't even know how to drive.
Right, we're going to get off from Rant of the Week because I think I failed. I don't think we have sections on the show where you can win. I don't think you can lose Rant of the Week. I think I lost today's Rant of the Week. After this, we have a new segment called Psychic Commentary. After this. VAR, are you serious on FUBAR Radio? All right, people, new segment. Psychic Commentary. Because we believe we can talk ball. We've been in the industry. We know our clubs. We know football. I've been a footballer. Kim's followed football his whole life. We believe, I'll stand on it. We believe that we can predict what was going to happen in the game. We're going to do psychic commentary. We're going to basically deliver a bit of commentary that we believe will happen in the upcoming fixtures in the Premier League. Only a small segment. We are not going to get it word for word. Of course not. I don't speak the way certain commentators speak. I'm actually currently doing a course, by the way, with the PFA, hold tight, media communications. And we've had pundits and commentators, Clive Tidsley. I can never say his name.
That's all right. Don't worry
really
about
bad.
It.
I should know this.
It's probably Tilsley. But
Tilsley,
it's
there we go. Gary Neville's been on. I should know that. I should know all these people. John Cross.
From the Mirror.
We've had many others as well. So, but I don't speak like them. Yeah. So we're not going to give it exactly, but we're going to get the gist of what we think is going to happen in the game and get a piece of commentary right. For instance, when Xavi Simons scored that goal, at the time, this on the weekend that's just gone, I actually would have said, someone in that squad should be telling him the game's not over yet. And lo and behold, that happened. Now we're going to look at Crystal Palace, West Ham, which is tonight. Big game, by the way, which Kim mentioned earlier. That could really push Spurs into relegation, even though they're already currently in that position, but further down. Arsenal versus Newcastle. Oh, I didn't know I was going to do that. That's going to be dangerous. Don't rattle me, Kim. And then Wolves versus Spurs. Let's do this. All right. You go. We'll go band for band. Let the guests go first. Give me your one bit of commentary. We'll keep it short and snappy. We'll go in order. You go, then me. Let's start with Crystal Palace versus West Ham.
Crystal Palace versus West Ham.
What's the commentary?
I don't think the commentator would say this.
because of
Ofcom, but he might say something related to this.
Okay, that's what we're looking for.
Which would be, Bowen's on fire, and he's shagging Danny Dyer. And he's just scored his second goal of the game, and West Ham move 4 points above Spurs in the relegation zone. He probably won't say the shagging Danny Dyer bit. He probably actually won't say the on fire bit either. But the last bit, he will say.
Interesting.
What you got for me?
I don't know. West Ham. I'm Mateta's in my head.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom.
Mateta's in the room. But that I'm seeing him kick the corner flag. Now that I don't have to say too much because it's just a short piece of commentary. So it's here again. Mateta runs to the corner flag. And boom. It's a goal for Mateta. I'll keep it short. Sorry, people. I know you want a bit more. You want more colour in that commentary, but I'm going safety on that one. I don't really know how that one plays out, but it's a big game tonight. Arsenal, Newcastle. Now I might have a few more words for this one. Go on then. You go. Does City play before us? I need to just check this.
No, we're in the FA Cup.
Oh, I thought Burnley was this. I thought it was Burnley this weekend.
Semi-finals of the FA Cup.
Ah!
Most prestigious tournament in football. We're in the semi-finals. What happened? Oh, you lost Southampton.
Champions League, though, next week.
You're not in that one, but don't worry about it.
No, Champions League.
Don't worry about it. You're not in it, so don't worry about it.
No, we're not in Africa, but Champions League. Just remember. we're still in that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Anthony Gordon.
That's not happening. That's
Manchester
not happening.
City have one hand on the Premier League title.
That's his commentary. Okay. It's usual Arsenal. They're not showing what they showed at the Etihad. It's sideways. It's a bit backwards. It seems like the draw is on the cards. One team has to win this game. It's been said that Arsenal have to go on and win every game to secure the Premier League title. And it's not looking like it's going that way so far. It's a bit of a stalemate. Both teams not looking like they're coming to play. But hold on. Wait, here we go. They're on the attack. Arsenal, it's...
Commentator didn't know the players. Commentator's lost his head.
I just don't know who's going to do it. Who's going to cast the winner? It's going to be 1-0, but who's going to be the goal scorer? It is.
Bro doesn't even know.
Declan Rice. He is not the captain today. It's Martin Odegaard, but he's doing a leader. He's a leader in his performance by getting Arsenal over the line and scoring a last minute winner.
Did you realise, right, if a commentator gave that performance, they would be sat yeah. on the spot?
I was struggling.
Yeah, no, I'm just letting you know.
I was struggling.
Instantly. I mean, to be fair, I talked about shagging, which probably isn't acceptable. Yeah. There we go. There's some Arsenal some players. Stats. Have you forgotten it?
Yeah, Declan Rice. Yeah, I know my team. I'm just... Reece Nelson's on it. He's on loan, but that's money. That's funny. He's not in the club at the moment. But yeah, sorry. I don't know who. It's going to be a stalemate a little bit, but then Arsenal are going to score a last minute goal from Declan Rice. Wolves Spurs at the Molyneux.
Name me one Wolves player. No, I'm not even going to try that one.
Oh, yeah. He Chang Wang? Yeah, Chang, I think it is. Also...
Take one, we'll move on.
Yeah. They got the striker, Nigerian six, massive.
Oh, what's his name?
His name's Tolu, but I don't know his lot. I never know his last name.
Oh, yeah, Tolu. Yeah.
Is that Tolu or is it Everton? No, it is. Sorry, Wolves. But Wolves.
There we go. Totti Gomez. I'll go Totti Gomez.
Okay.
I actually think Totti Gomez, last minute header, Spurs are looking down at the championship. I actually think Wolves will beat Spurs.
So Tolu, I think, plays for the Everton. I've gone, it is as Tolu. I can never say his name.
Okudoré.
No, it is. It's Okudoré. Okudoré, yeah, he's at Wolves. So why was he not on the... Sorry, I was right. He is there. But I don't know why he wasn't on the... The score sheet. Anyway, let's go to Wolves, Molyneux, Spurs. Kim. Psychic commentary.
I just went.
You've done it. I know. I'm just trying to think what happens here. Spurs don't win this game. De Zerbi is the manager and it seems like he was going to give a new lease of life to Tottenham, but he's still in search of his first win with Tottenham Hotspur. After the 90, it ends. Wolves 2, Tottenham Hotspur 1. And that's what I'm going to do. Still, 2-1. And again, there's not much colour in my commentary, but we will get better at this. This is a new segment.
Yeah, well,
it's fine.
And next week, we'll play them back and we'll see how close we were.
But we've just seen in the 67th minute, a red card has been given to a Tottenham Hotspur player. It is Christian Romero. And we are not shocked by that. A red card to Tottenham Hotspur. The dark days just keep getting darker. What a shame. That's also going to happen in the game. Thank you very much. That's my commentary. So if any of those things happen, come back to me. I'll give you your lottery numbers. And if anything happens, what Kim said, he'll give you his lottery numbers because we are psychics. We know this game, even though it does not seem like we did in that first new segment of psychic commentary. But that is it. Kim, thank you for being not as insufferable as I thought you would be this Monday morning.
You're welcome.
See you again soon. Hope you enjoyed the listen. Take care. Good night. VA, are you serious? Ah! Fubar.